So go ahead and start the video. God's been so good. You know, you get caught up in the process, and sometimes you forget where you came from. Kind of forgot where I came from until looking at that. Wow. A lot of hours. A lot of people just sold out to do God's will, to do God's work. You have to forgive me. I remember coming to New York in 06, and I remember just God calling us to do a great work here. Wow. Didn't expect to get emotional. I need a frappe. I remember God calling us to New York, and we got here, and God had a group ready for us to start a church, and so that's what we did. We started, and the first place that we had opportunity was in a school, Robert Parker School, total atheist school. If you're from here or from there and you're here today, my best advice for you is leave there and not here. And God opened the door, and we got there, and we started. And I'm going to tell you something about Connecting Point. If you look at all the statistics, you look at everything, this church should not be existing today. It shouldn't be. It is the providence of God, and it's God's hand that has been on us this whole time, 6.5 years. It's had its trials. We've had our ups and our downs, good days, bad days. People that have come that I wish would leave, and people that left that I wish would have stayed. I'm just being honest. You guys, those of you visiting, you're going, I can't believe he just said that. I say what you think. I'm just saying. But we started in a school, and then after two and a half years of being in that school, they came to me on a Wednesday. They called me up, asked me if we could meet. We met, and then they said, listen, we think church is bad for our image, and so you need to leave. And I said, okay, give me to the end of the month. It was, April 4th, I believe is when it was. I said, give me to the end of the month. Nope, you need to leave now. Sunday's your last Sunday. Well, thank you for your kindness. And so we left, and then we went in the other building over there, right on the other side of this. So if some of you that may be turned around, when you came in, you've seen the first building. We were upstairs of that, and we could seat 87 people, and we tore out walls and put walls up, and then we put walls up and tore down walls, and then we tore down walls and didn't put any up, and then we took down doors, and we turned doors around, and then we took down the hallway walls and made part of the hallway, part of the room. And I mean, listen, we did everything we could to keep growing and expanding, and we were out of space. And I said, God, you didn't call me here to stay here in this little space. Lord, you've called us for something bigger. And I just started praying, and God was telling me, he was getting me excited for this space. And I couldn't share it with anybody because people thought I would be crazy. Even when we started the process of remodeling and moving down here, people were going, they're excited, but they're going, I don't see everything Pastor's talking about. And I'm, listen, just go for the ride, okay? Just go for the ride. What else you got to do? Stay and go for the ride. And so I was getting excited for this building. And I said, Lord, it's going to take a miracle of yours to open the place up. And God said, well, that's no big thing for me. I do miracles all the time. And the only reason people don't see them is because they're not looking or they don't want to give me credit. But I do miracles all the time. And so I just started praying and I kept praying. And then I contacted the owner and I said, listen, we're looking for a new space. If you have one available, let us know. Otherwise, we're going to be moving out. And so he said, listen, man, I don't want you guys to go anywhere. Of course not. We up the value of your rent or of your building by twice, three times. We remodel everything. And next thing I know, he calls me back a month later. And he says, are you willing to move down there? Will you sign a lease? And I go, yep. And so then we had to work out the lease. We worked it out and got a great price, or what I feel is a great price. Of course, it always could be better, right? What's better than free? But that didn't happen. And we signed the lease, and then we needed, I estimated, $35,000 to do all the remodel that you guys seen. And I said, God, we're a little church. We don't have the money. And God, I need you in a big way. That's where this came from. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And he shows up. I mean, he just shows up. And you go, he's real. You kind of got to get a little excited, amen? And I said, okay, we need $35,000. And then people are going, Pastor, you're crazy for putting that kind of money into somebody else's space. To which I respond, if you have a better idea, share it. To which they respond, there's no better idea. Well, then we got to move forward. And just to give you an idea, if we would have rented this place looking the way it looks, it would have cost us between $6,000 and $7,000 a month. Yeah, isn't that crazy? I did the same thing. By redoing it all ourselves, over a 3-year period, we'll save roughly $86,000 that I figured out that we're going to save because we did it ourselves. So we started raising the funds to do this. The church, I think the last check gave just over $14,000, the body. And listen, we're not a big church, so that's a lot of money. And I got on the phone and I started calling some friends of mine. And I said, listen, you need to pray about helping us. And what do you mean? I want your money. Well, listen, anybody that knows me knows I'm straightforward. I don't take long to tell you what I want. I just get to the point and then you deal with it. And they're like, okay, John. And next thing I know, God is having people send checks. I had some friends of mine call me up and said, John, I'm excited about what's going on. God's laid it on my heart. Here's a check for $5,000. Get another one. Here's another $5,000. Here's $2,000. Here's $1,000. And man, the friends just started sending in the money. We raised the $35,000. We spent $37,000. Not bad. Not bad at all. For not understanding what we were getting into as far as above the ceiling. Because, you know, you guys see the pretty paint on the walls and the carpet on the floors. But what you don't see is people looking like Jack in a Box up in the ceiling 30 times a day because of all the electrical and the wiring that had to be done and things were going on and the repair of the old wiring so that we could put in our new wiring. And you don't see that. And God just started sending people that knew what they were doing. For example, Danny, would you stand up back there? Danny is one of our electricians, and he came in and he said, man, I'm going to do, we'll get on the kitchen, and so we'll start getting it in. And then he got busy because he said, Pastor, you got to understand, I got a life too. And I said, well, listen, I don't care about your life. Get this. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I might have thought it. I just didn't vocalize it real loud. But I love you, brother. But Danny went out to lunch and with Nate. And he said, listen, we got to get this done. Can you help? And so Nate said, yeah, I'll help. But here's what I didn't realize, that Nate had a situation going on, and he said, God, if you work in this and you work through this, I will donate my time to you. I will donate my money to you. I will donate, I'm kidding. Anyway, God, I'll serve you the way you want me to serve. A week later, he has lunch with Danny. Danny says, listen, I've started this, and by the way, Danny, you did an awesome job. You put in our breaker boxes and started running wire in the kitchen and wire back here and wire up there. And you guys have no clue. A roadmap looks better than our wiring because there's so much of it. So he talks to Nate. He says, can you meet me over there Saturday? Nate says, yeah. So Nate shows up. Nate brings a friend, Anthony. Danny doesn't show up. But just saying it out loud. And so he was sick. That's a good wife right there. He was sick. But here's what happened. See, Danny wasn't supposed to show up because God had ordained it to hold Nate to his word. And so Nate shows up. And I said, Nate, what church do you go to? And he told me, I go, you're going to the wrong church. You need to be coming here. That was like my first sentence to him after hello. And so he comes and then literally he was sold out, and he has spent hours here wiring. He's a freak about sensors, you know. So every time you walk into a room, you're not supposed to touch a switch, man. We live in the Star Trek days. You just walk in and it opens or turns on. And so he starts putting all this in, and all of a sudden God's using him to start doing things. And Nate, you've done a great job. Nate's actually back in the soundboard now. So give Nate and Danny a hand. And then we had to do some other things. By the way, this is Dedication Sunday, and I'm actually going to get to the verses that I want. But you got to hold on, because in order to really appreciate what's going on, I got to bring you with the story, okay? And if I'm boring, just tell your spouse to wake you up when it's over. Okay, so... So then we needed some specialized work done when we started. How many have seen the staircase? Brian said, Brian, you got to stand up. Come on, dude. Stand up. Yeah. Brian comes in and he says, I can build a staircase. Thank you, Jesus. So Brian starts on the staircase. One afternoon he has it framed in. Then he comes back the following time, and he's got it almost done. And then I said, man, Brian, you're good with that. So how about doing the ramps and the steps over here? And he's like, yeah, we'll do that. And, oh, man, you know, you're good with that. Let's do some doors. And what else can you do? And so Brian was just awesome in helping get things done. And then I have I need Josh and Chris. And Vern, I need you to stand up. Josh, Chris, Vern. All right. These three, here's what they did. Yeah, give them a hand. Here's what they did. Vern was here. You guys can have a seat. You don't need to take all the spotlight. So Vern made it a point to come in every morning and stay until he had to go home and fix lunch for his wife. And then sometimes he'd come back, sometimes he wouldn't, every day. He might have missed a day or two. Josh, same way. He'd come in right before work. He'd come in that morning and then stay until he had to leave and go to work almost every day. Chris, same way. Usually after work, he'd come in. And listen, even if it was for an hour, he would come in, help knock something out, and then go home. Man, just the dedication. And when I say every day, literally, they only missed a few days. Man, thank you guys. Thank every one of you so far. Linda and Kelly, I need you to stand right here. Okay. Painting and trim work. All right. Listen, give them a hand. There were times where Linda would stay until 10, 11, midnight. And I'm going, no offense, I love you. I'm going, wow, she's getting up in age. I'm saying what you're thinking. But yeah, she would come and hang out and paint until she went home like this and going, but just here. Kelly. Now, let me tell you something about Kelly. Kelly was doing a lot of the trim and a lot of the rooms, and she would go in and paint. And I'm, okay, I'm a little freak about, I'm OCD, I think. Don't get paint where it doesn't belong. In other words, if the purple belongs on the purple, leave it on the purple. Don't get it on the tan. Amen? All right. She was so meticulous that she got one of them little paint-by-number brushes so that she wouldn't get paint where it didn't belong. That's sold out. Amen? Thank you. I can go on and on and on. Anybody that I've not mentioned already, and you had a part in this, either financially, where you gave specifically, because your tithe doesn't count, you gave specifically for the project, or you were here helping, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Give them a hand. All right. I need all the temple people to remain standing, all the temple people that came and helped. Give them a hand. Thank you. Here's what happened. Mr. B, stand up, sir. I just want you to get your exercise. Thank you. He would call me up. And he'd say, I got some guys. I got some food. I got this. I got that. And I'm going, what am I going to do with all these people he's sending? But we'll find something. And so Tim comes and he goes, what do you want done? I go, dude, move doors. So Tim comes in, starts moving doors. And then I took his picture. And he goes, did you take my picture? I go, yeah. He goes, I'm never coming back. And you know what? The sucker didn't. What was up with that? I'm keeping the picture too, just so you know. I'm going to blow it up big and email it to your house. I'm going to put it out on the front porch. You go, look at Tim. Miss Betty, would you stand up? She's with Temple. And she would make food. Not even call, nothing. Just make it and they'd bring it. How many do you need to feed? Well, I don't know. At first they'd ask. Then after that, they'd just bring enough to feed an army and half of East Greenbush. She's a great cook. By the way, she makes them, what do you call them? Glumpkies. Clump or glump? Okay, it's Polish. But the only reason I know it's Polish is because it's that got the E on the end, right? Glumpki, Ski, Wininski, Wazinski, all that Polish, Polak stuff. All right, get the recipe. Right, Chris? Josh? Get the recipe. She brings this whole dish for 15 people. There were four of us here. And three men ate every bit of it. I just watched them in awe. Matt, stand up for me, please. Matt came in and did, yeah, give him a hand. Matt came in and did all the sheetrock work, the mudding, the taping, the spackling. You seen him on stilts? I was actually impressed, dude, that you're really good on them stilts. I'm thinking I'm going to hurt myself if I was on that. He did really a great job on it. Anybody that I'm missing, help me out. Buck, stand up for me. Buck, come in. Buck came in. What do you need, Pastor? So we got on some specialized projects, got them done. Brings in wiring, he donates the things that we need, gets in here, we start hanging, we start working, we start doing. Thank you, brother. I'm going to tell you, this doesn't happen without you. Ladies bring in dishes. Just people volunteering and giving. If I missed anybody, forgive me. I'm going to get to my wife in a minute. But people just gave because it was of God. Not of man, but of God. I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Actually, we're going to start in 1. I'm sorry. 1. It's good to remember, amen? Sometimes I think we get so busy we forget that we can do nothing of ourselves, that it's all of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Let me catch you up to speed. The disciples, the apostles, by the way, let me give you the difference between a disciple and apostle. How many do not, and a serious question, how many do not know the difference between a disciple and an apostle? Thank you for those being honest. Yeah, some of you are looking at me like, somebody might see my hand. I've seen it. Here's the difference. An apostle... There's three things to qualify you for an apostle. One, you had to be handpicked by God. Okay? So God, by Jesus, I'm sorry, by Jesus specifically. How many's warm? Say amen. All right, I'm about to take care of that. Hold on. Yeah, AC. Amen. 65. Let's see who turns blue. All right. So... number one, you had to be hand-picked by Jesus. You had to have witnessed the death, burial, and resurrection. And you had to be taught by Jesus. So obviously not in that order. And so we have those who were there, who were hand-picked, and then who were taught by Jesus Christ. That makes them an apostle. Today, you cannot be an apostle. Okay? There are no apostles today. Do you know why? Because you weren't there. You might have been picked by Jesus, and you might have been taught by Jesus, but you weren't there. And so that's what made an apostle. We are disciples. What do disciples do? Disciples read the Word of God, study the Word of God, share the Word of God. That's what we do. And what happens is, because we can't do our part until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and does His part. And this is what we're going to see right here in 1-4. Go to 1-4 real quick. I won't keep you here but another hour because the food's going to get cold. None of you even... anybody hear the hour part? Some of you, I ain't staying that long. Look, I love Jesus. I'm glad you invited me, but you go much past another 20 minutes. I'm out of here. 1-4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, by the way, these are the apostles, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You know, when we were going through this process and we're trying to get the building and trying to get out of the upstairs because it was just all stairs, there were no elevator, nothing like that. So some of you that are here today could never have made it over there. But today you're here because God's opened a door and he may have just opened it for just you. Amen? That's how good God is, and that's how much he loves you. And so what happened, he says, you know, sometimes you just have to wait. Waiting is sometimes the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Especially in today's society, because society programs us, go, 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 go. What, you stop? No, go, 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 go. And we're going insane trying to figure out, wait. And God said, he tells the apostles, you know what? Wait. Now, wait doesn't mean you're doing nothing. Because we see down here, and look here in verse 12. Jump down to 12. I'm going to jump all around so you guys hang with me. Down here in 1:12. Then they returned to Jerusalem. They did what he said. They were in Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem on a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord. That doesn't mean they were in a Honda. It just means they were together in mind, heart, soul, spirit. They were together in what? Prayer. See, they waited on God, but they weren't inactive. They weren't doing nothing. They were seeking his face. They were in prayer. They were begging God to do something. They were begging God to make a difference. They were begging God to empower them. They were begging God to open up doors of ministry. Because you got to understand, this is right after the ascension. If we look in Acts 1:9, Christ was ascended. Remember? He was ascended 9 through 11. And they've seen this. And he says, you know what? I want you to go and teach. They remember Matthew 28:19, where he says, I want you to go and teach the whole world about me and about this and what you've seen. I can imagine back then when they seen Jesus Christ raise. Can you imagine? They probably went, oh my goodness, we got to tell somebody. Right? Come on. You see something big happen, what's the first thing you want to do? Text. Take a picture, Snapchat it, Instagram it, right? Isn't that Instagram now? Yeah, you got Instagram, Snapchat, all that stuff to keep your mind busy and keep you from praying. At any rate, so what happens is, you know I'm right, people driving and texting and doing all that mess. At any rate, okay. How many have seen the latest sign on 90? Are you intoxicated? Right? How many have seen that? Are you intoxicated? And I'm going, no, I'm in Albany. So at any rate, here's what's happening. Sorry. He said, I want you to go and I want you to wait, but I don't want you to just do nothing, man. I want you seeking my face. I want you praying. They understood. Listen, they had a message. They needed to share it, but they needed to wait on God for the right time. Because you know what? If the Holy Spirit doesn't work in the area that needs to be worked in, it's not fertile soil. It's just dirt. But man, when the Holy Spirit's there and God's moving and he's working, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's fertile soil. That means something is about to grow. And so many of us have had divine appointments and we've blown them off. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Blown them off. You knew God wanted you to be somewhere. You knew God wanted you to do something and you blew it off. You know why? This might offend you, but don't let it hurt too bad. Because you were so busy and self-consumed, you didn't have time for God's plan. These apostles said, listen, man, this is all about Jesus. I've seen him. I'm not turning back. Man, listen, I know it's God. I'm going to share. I'm going to be obedient. The most amazing thing about these apostles is as you read about them through the Gospels, do you realize they were unstable? I mean, listen, if it was my crew, I'd have fired half of them. Right? How many's with me? I mean, come on, you got Doubting Thomas. What a pessimist. Go home. I don't need your negativity, right? And then you got Peter. Peter, you don't even want to take direction. Man, I can't. Go home, right? Because Peter, Jesus says, I got to go and I got to die. And Peter says, you're not going to do that. And what's Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan, right? Man, we don't need that. Dude, you got to follow your leader. And Peter wasn't willing. And then, okay, let's look at Peter again, right? So this is after the ascension, after he sees it. They all doubted when the ladies came back and said, he's risen, he's not in the tomb. He's risen. They went, no, that can't be real. So what's Peter and John do? They go running like madmen to where? To the grave. They're going to look. They run in there. As soon as they run in there, it's empty. John gets there first. He stops. I wonder if John just went, because, you know, John was the most stable one. You know, John. So John gets to the entrance and he just stops. And he looks in. Peter has no brakes, right? No filter, no brakes. Listen, Peter can take one foot in, take the other foot, kick it in, take the second foot, put it in beside it, and then take the hand and knock that in. I mean, Peter is just that kind of guy. And he blows right past John, gets in there, and he stands and he's looking. And he says, wow, he's not here. He's ascended. Duh. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what the lady said? So he's ascended. He's not there. Well, then Peter leaves. John leaves. And Jesus told him, meet me at the Sea of Galilee. Meet me on the beach. Wait for me. Wait. I want you to wait. This is not here. Now this is fast forwarding. I want you to wait. And Peter does this. Peter looks at the men, the other apostles, and he says, are you ready for this? I'm tired of waiting. He ain't coming. Let's go. I'm going fishing. Who wants to go with me? And he took men that aren't even fishermen fishing. He drew them away. He lured them to the water. He didn't even want to wait. And Jesus says, listen, I got something great for you if you'll just wait on me. Quit trying to judge me. Quit trying to guess if I'm there. Quit trying to guess if I'm real. Quit trying to, listen, get rid of all that. James says, he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, and I won't bless him at all. I won't answer his prayers. He's an unstable man in all his ways. That's what James chapter 1 says. He says, I don't doubt. Man, listen, I'm going to send the whole, look here in 1:4. Man, I'm about to get excited. So he says here, you know what? Depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Not my promise, but the promise of the Father. God the Father. Listen, the ultimate, the head of the Trinity. He says, wait, because you're going to get a promise from the Father. It's kind of like the Godfather. No pun intended. Right? Listen. He's it, man. He's the top of the chain. It doesn't get any better than that. And Jesus says, it's the promise from the Father who loves you, who sent me to die for you. This is the Father I'm talking about. And look what he says here in verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He says, it's not for you to know those times. Listen, I just want you to be obedient. But look here in 8. Because he's telling them, don't be worked up over things that don't matter. That's what he's telling them in 7. Don't worry about that. Listen, we got bigger fish to fry. We got bigger things to do. Don't get consumed with the coming of me coming back. I just left. Give me a moment. Right? Look here in 8. I love this. First he tells them in 4, I want you to wait. Then he tells them in 8, but you, listen, forget about when I'm coming back. Don't get consumed with that. You got a job to do. I've taught you for a little over three years. You be ready, because look here in 8. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power. Guys, we're not powerless. Do you know why? Because let's finish it. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, listen, when he talks about being baptized in the Spirit, you know, and by the way, we're going to get into tongues, and we're going to get into all that stuff, and Pentecost, and we're just going to talk about all that, break it down so it's all in context. But here's what he's saying. Don't get consumed with things that don't matter right now. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to prepare you for a great work. A greater work. Because even Jesus told the apostles, listen, you're going to do greater things than I did. Isn't it? Do you guys remember that? He said, you're going to do greater things than I did. Why? Because I am preparing you. I am building you. I am going to equip you. I am going to teach you. And I'm going to use the Holy Spirit to do that, to guide you, to comfort you. Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be like this. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to go, yeah, bring him on. Right? This is what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to be bold. 1 Timothy 1:7, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and boldness and a sound mind. And it only comes because the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit fills you and dwells you. And you say, well, how does that happen? Listen, God says, here's what happens. When you surrender your life to me, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you. In other words, he's going to baptize you. He's going to fill you. He's going to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of everyone who invites him in and gives their life to Christ. Then you don't walk around alone. Ever. Never do you walk around alone. And he says, not only am I going to fill you, because now there's a difference here between being baptized in the Spirit, in other words, being filled with the Spirit, and being empowered by the Spirit. Because the truth be told, there's a lot of you Christians, you like how I did that? I use that term loosely today because not all that say I'm a Christian are. And not all that say I'm a Christian live like one, act like one, talk like one, walk like one. And so here's what he says. If you're saved, if you've given your life to Christ, if you recognize Jesus Christ died on the cross, died for your sins, he's the Savior of the world, rose from the dead at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, then you give your life to Christ. And he says, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But prior to that, you're going to hell. And you go, I don't like that word, Pastor. It's all right. It's in the Bible. That's being baptized in the Spirit when you receive Christ. But man, being empowered by the Spirit, that's different. These guys, they went to the upper room. By the way, I meant to put a picture up of the upper room, but it reminded me too much of upstairs, so I left it out. You had to be there to appreciate that. He says, here's what's going to happen. Because you surrendered your life, because you gave your life to me, because you're obedient, because you love me, because you believe in me, I'm going to empower you. I am going to give you the power of God to do things that nobody else can do without it. In other words, it's physically impossible, spiritually impossible. And man, you look at what the apostles did. Look, they went out and they healed people, didn't they? I mean, you got to believe the word of God to believe they did that. They went out and they healed people. They made a difference. Man, I mean, I'm telling you, they led people into new life, and their lives were different. And that was the most amazing thing that I think with the apostles. I told you that I would have fired most of them. I'd have kept John because I like the name. But here's what happens. They were just wishy-washy when Jesus was on the earth, right? They messed up. But after that, once the power of God came upon them, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, they never swayed again. Did you notice that? They've never, listen, you got to read the Bible to understand that. But they never swayed again. And I look and I go, okay, if we have the power of God on us, man, what could this church do? What could you do as a Christian with the power of God? I'm not talking salvation, Holy Spirit. I'm talking empowered by the Holy Spirit, not baptized. But man, where the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you and you go, I don't care who I offend. I don't care. They need to hear the word of God. When you get that attitude, when you get that boldness where you go, listen, you know what? You can pull the trigger because I love Jesus. How many know who the Dwayne the Rock is? He was on wrestling, that fake thing. But then, like, my favorite movie that he did was Tooth Fairy. How many have seen the Tooth Fairy? Yeah. It's just funny. You see a big man in a little skirt, frou-frou. And, but I seen a picture of him the other day. And he's wearing a T-shirt. And he says, I'm on Team Jesus. And he's posing. He's not quite as big as me, but he's posing. But he goes, I'm on Team Jesus. Bold. Loud. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. It allows you to do things for God, with God, that you could never imagine. Do you know why I think the church struggles today? Because not too many people are seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because they're too busy not waiting. Not waiting. I know nobody in here has that problem. But we go, oh, God, I got this on God going over here. Come join me. Come join me. And God goes, no, I got it over here. Okay, I'll come back later. I'm going to go over here. Isn't that what we do? And we say, we're Christian and I love Jesus. But we lack the power. I think that's why the church is struggling in society. Because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit on us. You know why? Because we've not waited and we've not invited. We wonder, why is our life empty? I want to be happy. Right? We don't want to be happy. We want the joy of the Lord that only God can give. Happy is dependent upon circumstances. Joy of the Lord, man, is having the power of the Holy Spirit deep in your heart and your soul. You don't care what happens. You're solid. You're not dependent upon somebody else's attitude or actions. You're not dependent upon society. You're not dependent upon anything because you are satisfied with you because you are satisfied in Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. I think we miss it. We miss it because we're looking for it everywhere else. Because the world, listen, I'm going to tell you what. The world's going to promise you a bunch of pretty things. The world's got everything you need. Until you get involved in it and you find out, it just sucks you dry. It sucks your soul out of you. The next thing you know, you're frustrated and you're angry. And you wonder why. It's because you've not invited the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. Guys, I'm telling you, when you read this, you got to see the difference. You got to see what's happening. You got to see that God says, I want to empower you. I want to embolden you. I want to send you out. I want you to make a difference in this world. And you know what? Even if somebody puts a gun to your head, you're going to go, pull the trigger. I'm only going home. Amen? I'm thinking, listen, and I'm so tired of this world, I'm thinking, I'd like to go home. But God's got to work for you, and he's got to work for me to do, and we got to stay here and do it. And that's why God opened the doors for this place to grow. That's why he opened the doors for us to get in here, because I want you to think about this for one moment. If we were still in the other place, half of you couldn't even fit in it. And yet God has opened the door where we come in here, and we did all this, and we're debt-free. Debt-free. Do you realize we don't owe anybody, except for rent, but we don't owe anybody for anything that's in here? Everything we bought, we paid cash for. Everything we did was volunteer work. Listen, you talk about being empowered and God working a great miracle. We did about $200,000 worth of work in this building for $37,000. Think about that. That just overwhelms me. Because God is so good. He says, listen, you expect something great from me, I'll deliver it. Do you know why he doesn't deliver it in most people's lives? They don't expect it. Or they go, oh God, I know you're great and almighty God, and I know you want to bless me. And so, Lord, I just ask that you bless me with a new car because, Lord, you know I need it now. It's getting tough walking. I know winter's over and I can get a bicycle, but, Lord, that's a long way to work. And so, Lord, I just want a new car. Amen. He ain't going to get it. I just know he ain't going to give it to me. Really? Then why'd you bother to pray? That's what we do. We rob ourselves, man. We cheat ourselves. And we throw God under the bus. You're not able, God. You're not willing, God. And God says, how do you know if you would just ask and believe? I could deliver something to you. But why should I give it to you? You don't even believe anyway. Why would you question me? And I'm going to tell you why we question God. Because we don't have the right relationship. And you go, oh, Pastor, I don't like the way you're going with this. It's all right. Another 5 minutes, I'm done. But that's what happens, guys. Listen, here's what he says. I want you to see here. In 1:4, he says, listen, I want you to wait on me. In 1:8, he says, you're going to get power. And you're going to be strengthened. And I'm going to send you. I want you to do big things. And you know, it's not always going into the ministry, but it's doing something for God. And he said, it's going to be big because when I'm in it, it's always big. And then he goes down here and he says in 2:1. Because he says, listen, you know what? I'm going to fill you, and I'm going to fill you like it said in 1:16. He says, like David said, the Holy Spirit spoke before in the mouth of David. Then in 2:1, he says, listen, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now listen, it was a sound. It wasn't a big wind. It was just a sound, like a rushing, violent wind. In other words, how many have ever been through a major windstorm or a hurricane or a tornado? I've been through all three. Didn't appreciate any of them. But man, you hear that wind, right? The tornado, you can hear that tornado. Sounds like it really does sound like a train coming. Man, I remember in Missouri, Tornado Alley, I don't know how many times I'd have to pull the box spring off of the bed, put it in the hallway over everybody, and put the kids and everybody underneath of the mattress, and then I'd go outside and see where the tornado was. But you would hear it. It was like, whoa, and it just got louder and louder. That's what it was like. There was no wind. It didn't mess their hair up. It didn't come in and sweep the room and blow them off their chairs. But it sounded like, because you got to look in the context of what it's saying, it sounded like as of a rushing mighty wind. And it says, look here what it says. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So we see that it didn't come across horizontal. It came down vertical. It came from top to bottom. They knew it was of God. It didn't come across. It wasn't like somebody left a window open and all of a sudden the wind blew in. It came from top to bottom. They knew it was from heaven. They knew it was from God. And then he says here, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one sat upon each of them. Not fire. It wasn't actual fire. If it was, some of them would have had no hair or burnt hair, but it wasn't real fire. It just appeared as fire, as a flame. It's showing the presence of God, because when you look at wind, it references the Holy Spirit. You look at fire, you see throughout Scripture, fire references God and the Holy Spirit. And so you see the analogy that they're given here references God and the Holy Spirit. And then he goes here in 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now listen, if you come back, you'll find that the other tongues is not gibberish. It's not. You come back, I'll break it down, we'll use Scripture, I'll explain it. But don't miss where I'm at. He filled them. He filled the room. Everybody knew God was there. God is unmistakable. I think the reason that we don't believe it is because we haven't been filled, or we haven't been around those who have, because our lives aren't right. Now, I know that nobody in here, I'm just like in general Christians. Man, you want the power of God on you? You want the Holy Spirit to move in you? You want heaven to come down? Then you got to wait on God and live for God. You got to spend time with God. That was the prayer part. You got to spend time with God. And then he does great and mighty things which you know not. And then when it's done, you're just in awe, because you know God did it. You know. No denying it. See, whenever God's in it, nobody can ever rob him of his glory. And I'm telling you right now, God did all of this. All of it. Every bit of it. All of it. Nothing left without God. Do you want him to do that in your life? Wait on him. Get rid of all the clutter in your life and just say, okay, God, here I am. Spend time in prayer and watch him do a great work. Until then, you're powerless. You're trying to do everything in your own strength. I don't know about you. I was here until 1:30 this morning. I know you weren't, but let me get to my point. I was here until 1:30 this morning. When I went home, by the time I sat down, because you know, you get home, you take 30 minutes just to go, whew. And then by the time I got my shower and was ready for bed, it was 2:30 in the morning. And then because I was so amped for here, I look over and it's 6 in the morning. I'm going, did I even sleep? And my body was wore out, and I was wore out. Because in our own strength, we can only go so far and we collapse. But in the power of God, you can move mountains if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed. What do you want? Let me say this. Whatever you're going after right now, that's what you want. And until you change your direction, you won't obtain God or the power. And you won't see miracles. I encourage you today, get rid of the junk and get God in your life and see what happens. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful for you. And Lord, wow. Lord, I don't even know that I have words for you right now. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. Lord, who I know right now is praying for me. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who I know is going on my behalf, uttering words, Lord, that no man knows, but you and the Holy Spirit know. Lord, you are so awesome. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here and that's come, Lord, who has decided to celebrate the great things you have done with us. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I just ask that you would continue to do great work. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I'm going to say this. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. Bottom line. You go, well, I'm a good person. It has nothing to do with being good. Well, I don't like you, Pastor. It has nothing to do with me either. And so what I want you to recognize, that without the Holy Spirit, without you surrendering to and receiving Christ as your Savior, heaven's not your home. That's what the Word of God says, not me. And so I want to give you an opportunity to change that. If you're here today, you go, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Man, I believe what the Bible says. I believe God's word. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he's at the right hand of the Father. You say, I believe all that. And then if I were to ask you this question, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? With no question in your mind, yes, I'll go to heaven. If you can't answer, yes, I know I'm going to heaven, then you need to question if you are going to heaven. You say, well, how do I fix that, Pastor? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you go, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm just not 100% sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, if you want Christ as your Savior, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you pray this prayer. Now listen, the prayer doesn't save you. It is your heart. It is your desire in your heart. That's what saves you. The prayer is just kind of a map to guide you through the process. But if it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I can't do anything without you. I recognize, Lord, that you rose from the dead. You shed your blood on that cross for me and me alone. And today, I repent of all my sins. Today, Jesus, I asked you to come into my life, to be my Savior.